Thank you, Catherine and Lizzie. Some Starbucks cups up here today. Actually, I was kind of hoping maybe there'd be kind of an offering thing here with Starbucks. It's like, in some churches, they give their pastors water. But Starbucks would be good, by the way, if you wanted to put a little cup there of that. If you want, turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 17. There is a story about a husband who came home from work, and as he pulled into the driveway, he had to avoid driving over two bicycles and a doll stroller and a skateboard. And when he got into the house was chaos. Their toys were all over the place. They were on the floor. They were on the furniture. There's piles of clothes laying around. Trying to avoid all that chaos, he headed into the kitchen for a small snack, expecting to find there the snack that his wife usually had prepared for him and dinner cooking on the stove. Instead, he found the breakfast dishes that were still all over the table and all over the counter, and in the sink there was these stacks of unwashed dishes. And needless to say, the dinner was not cooking and there was no snack. So as he headed up the stairs in search of his wife, he was nearly knocked over by his five screaming kids who were running down the stairs in various states of undress. And finally, he made it past more piles of laundry, more toys, and several new drawings on the wall that were written out and drawn out in indelible ink. And then he encountered his wife, who was half asleep in bed. And by this time, the father, the husband, was really frustrated and angry, and so he yelled out, "What have you been doing all day?" To which his wife answered, "Well, every day you come home and ask me what I did all day. Well, today I didn't do it." Okay? Partnership, all right? Or lack of it. Partnership of a husband and wife. It is amazing to consider that Jesus, the God of all creation, the Savior of mankind, should involve us in His ministry. God gives us the awesome privilege of working with Him as He works in human history, works to bring humankind into a restored relationship with Him. Coming to Luke chapter 5, thinking about dedicating this building to God and His ministry, we want to take the opportunity this morning to focus on the partnership that Jesus gives us in His ministry. The partnership that Jesus gives us in His ministry. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 17. One day He, Jesus, was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for Him to perform healing. And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of Him. But not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Now let's pause there. This is a pretty familiar scene, right? So let's touch on a few details just to kind of get this fresh in our minds. Jesus has been traveling around Galilee, and He comes back to Capernaum up on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, probably to the home of Peter and Andrew, which was kind of a base of operations for Him. And when people found out that He was back, they all showed up. Everyone was there. His friends, His supporters, people that were hoping to see a miracle. His enemies were there, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, also known as scribes. The respected theologians and religious leaders of the day. They all crowded into this house. They were trying to cram into this house. Point being that the place was packed. The Pharisees, the scribes, they're given places of respect. They've got the seats up front. Everyone else is packed into this house like sardines. The doorway is filled with people. There are people that are peering in through the windows. The crowd is spilling out into the street. The people outside are trying to hear what's going on inside. The people inside are just trying to breathe. And Jesus is in the middle of this, and he's teaching. And then there are these four men who are carrying this paralyzed man on this stretcher, on this bed. A typical Palestinian home of the time was probably a small one-room place with a flat roof. And the roof was made of wooden beams, and there were tiles set in between those beams. And then there was this thatch and this earth that was put in on top of that. So there's this noise. In the midst of all this, there's this noise, kind of this scratching sound, this sort of tearing and scraping on the roof, and then little pieces of dust start falling on Jesus, and then whole chunks of dirt and stuff start coming down. Would you like to have been there to see this? Imagine Peter. You know, if this is really his house, which probably was, Peter, this burly, rough, tough fisherman type guy, is standing there, and he's trying to figure out what to do, right? God is here in my living room, and he's talking to people, and someone's tearing my roof apart. Now, do I stand here and act spiritual, or do I go up on the roof and punch somebody's lights out, right? Whole sections of the roof start coming down. The crowd is trying to move back away from this thing, and the shower debris, and then just the whole ceiling gives way. And there's this hole in the ceiling. There's four heads that are peering down through the hole, looking over the edge. And Jesus and everyone else, they're looking up at these faces in the hole. And then a man on this bed is lowered down. And Jesus looks at the man lying on the bed with expectation. He's looking up at Jesus. And he sees that here's his four friends up on the roof with pleading eyes peering down through the hole. Okay, are we together on this? Okay? Think with me about the partnership that Jesus gives to us in ministry. A while back, I read about two ladies, both of whom were concert pianists, both of whom had had strokes. One was paralyzed on the right side, one was paralyzed on the left side, so that neither of them could really play the piano. Somehow they found each other, and they began to play as partners. One played the right-hand part, one played the left-hand part. They played together as partners. In the ministry that we have with Jesus, there are two parts, two responsibilities. On one hand, there are the parts of ministry that Jesus gives us the responsibility for. And then, on the other hand, there are the parts of the ministry that Jesus deals with, his responsibility. Luke 5, 17 to 19, the focus is on what we are responsible for. In ministry with Jesus, it is our responsibility to deal with the secondary issues of a problem. It's our responsibility to deal with secondary issues of a problem. Share that with at least two people around you. Okay, two people around you, say to them, we deal with the secondary issues. Just turn, say it to two people. We deal with the secondary issues. Okay? And there are a number of secondary issues here. The physical needs of the paralytic, the huge crowd, transportation, so on. And these four men are determined to carry the stretcher of their friend. They were determined to find the answers to each problem as it rose. Finding the home, knowing where and how to cut a hole in the roof, then risking everything to lower their friend right down in front of Jesus. Proverbs 18:24 says, there are friends who pretend to be friends, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There are a number of examples of that in Scripture. Think of these. David and Jonathan. And their special friendships, the way that they encouraged each other and supported and loved each other, even in the face of death. Aaron and Hur, how they held up the arms of Moses in the defeat of the Amalekites. Paul and the young pastor Timothy, Peter and his disciple Mark. That's partnership. Be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Be a stretcher bearer. Be a brother or sister in Christ. The person of encouragement who supports, who stands by the side of a friend no matter what the difficulty. And these are the secondary issues that Jesus gives us responsibility for. Let's go one step further. All of us have times in our lives when we're like that paralytic, laid out on a stretcher and needing to be lifted up. We don't know when those times will come. We can't schedule and can't tap them into our Palm Pilot. Death, illness, unemployment, situations at work or at home. They come on us often without preparation and boom, suddenly there they are. And what destroys people, often with suicidal results, is when people find themselves on stretchers and they feel like nobody cares. There's no one there to carry the stretcher. Times when it's easy to give up on faith and on God and on life. And if there's no one to carry our stretcher, man, we are in dangerous ground. And on your sermon notes and on the screen here, you'll see there are two pictures of stretchers. There's a bed with four handles. And notice in that first picture that the word me is written on the stretcher in the blank space on the handles. Okay, between that space there. Put your name in the middle there. Me is you. See that? And then think about the handles. If you were to put a name on each of those handles, the name of a brother or sister in Jesus who would carry your stretcher, looking at that first picture, if you were to put someone named on the handles there, someone to carry your stretcher, who would you go to for help? Or maybe, you know, you've relied on in the past. Who would they be? Take time today. Think about this. Okay, today, tomorrow, think about this. Write the names of those people down on that stretcher. And then now, if you would, look at the second stretcher. On one of the handles is a place for your name. Me is you, right? So put your name in there, me. And the other three handles are blank. You ever try to lift a stretcher by yourself? That's pretty near impossible. That's not God's design for His church. Stretcher has four handles. Four. Okay? Share this with the person next to you. We lift together. Just share that with the person next to you. We lift together. And praise God. See, He does that through this congregation. A couple examples. There's the prayer tree that D. Thorne heads up. How many of you have been on that prayer tree? Or maybe you submitted a prayer request. You've been prayed for. It's crucial. Crucial ministry. There's the benevolence ministry that Debbie Jones coordinates. Many of you have been blessed through that ministry. Mary Liz, who was in the hospital last night. Man, she sent out so many cards to this congregation. It's her turn to receive a card, by the way. But how many of you received a card from the church? Isn't that incredible? Great ministry. People who provide meals, who help others move, they provide transportation, they fix things. And we could go on. We could go on naming stretcher bearers in the congregation. Think about the names that go on those handles. Maybe individuals, people who can go with you as you visit or who can pray with you about specific needs, who can serve with you in meeting those needs. We lift together. And imagine how the lives of those friends would have been changed by what happened that day. Now, how would the paralytic remember his friends? They carried me to Jesus. And years later, those four friends would have been remembering the day that their friend's life was changed forever. And they would remember the role that they played, their part in that transformation. You can hear them telling their grandchildren about it. I was there. I carried the stretcher. It was my saw that we used to cut into the tiles and pry open the roof. Secondary issues. It's our responsibility, it's our awesome privilege given to us by Jesus to deal with the secondary issues of a problem. Going on, Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 20. Starting at verse 20, the focus shifts to Jesus' responsibility. Jesus always deals with the main issue of a problem. Say that with me. Jesus deals with the main issue. Try it again. Jesus deals with the main issue. And it's important that we understand what the main issue is here. Verse 20. Seeing their faith, the trust that these four friends had and the paralytic had in Jesus, seeing their faith, He, Jesus, said, "Your sins, friend, your sins are forgiven you." Now, if we think about it, that is a really strange thing to say. At this point, Jesus should have said something like, "Thy paralysis is healed, go thou in peace." But that's the physical secondary issue. When Jairus' daughter was dying, Jairus came to Jesus and pleaded with Him, "Please, come here, heal her, she's dying." There's an urgent physical need. When Lazarus was dying, his sister sent word to Jesus and they said, "Please, come and help, he's dying." There's an urgent physical need. But in Capernaum that day, the need is different. This wasn't an urgent life or death situation. If this man continued paralyzed tomorrow, he'd still be alive. The main issue here is not physical, it's spiritual. And Jesus sees past the obvious to the real need of this man. The main issue here is sin, specifically the sin of the paralytic. One wonders, what burdens was this man carrying? What bitterness, depression, despair, guilt, what sins was he bound up in? Reading the text, we don't know. But Jesus knew. And Jesus is dealing with the main issue. Verse 21. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this man who speaks such blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" That's a great question, isn't it? What right does Jesus have to say these things? Only God has the authority to forgive sin. Verse 22. But Jesus, aware of their reasoning, answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins have been forgiven you,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." If you want a physical sign that I have the authority to deal with the spiritual needs of your life, he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher and go home." Verse 25. Immediately he got up before him and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. They were all struck with astonishment, began glorifying God. They were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen remarkable things today." The whole point of the miracle is the physical demonstration of Jesus' spiritual authority. Jesus heals the paralytic physically to prove that he has the power, the right, the authority to heal him spiritually. Man, how incredible that must have been. How absolutely overwhelming for that paralytic man walking out of that house, assured that his sins were forgiven. His life has been transformed forever. And that's something that we need to see for ourselves. Like the paralytic, like those in the crowd, we need to realize what God has done for us. Remarkable things. That word remarkable in the Greek is the word paradoxa. It's where we get the English word what from? Paradox, right? It's when we have two things. They both seem to be true, but they seem to contradict each other. A paradox goes beyond the ability of our minds to sort it out. In other words, the crowd saw what was happening, and it went beyond their reasoning. Stick with me. Paradox is made, it's a Greek word. It's actually made up of two words that are put together. Para, meaning from, the source of something, and doxa, the second word, doxa, which is the word for glory, as in the glory of God, God's splendor, His reputation. It's what makes Him worthy of all honor and praise. Okay? Putting all that together, what these people saw, it blew their minds. And the only possible explanation that they had for the paradox, how a man can forgive sins, was that it was a God thing. When it comes to the main issues of our lives, only God can deal with these. God is passionate about forgiving sin. He came in the flesh. He's lived with us. He died on the cross. He's alive. Jesus has the authority to forgive sins. We need to hear this message this morning. We are all too aware of our failure. Things that we would be ashamed of if anybody else knew about. We know about our sin and disobedience before God. And we want to be set free from guilt. We need to know God's power to heal us inwardly. Jesus has the authority to meet the deepest needs, to change us inwardly forever. And that's the tremendous reality of what Jesus does when He deals with the main issues of our lives. Okay? Grab onto this reality. The awesome partnership that God privileges us to be a part of. God giving us the privilege of dealing with the secondary issues while He deals with the main issues of our lives. That's amazing, isn't it? The partnership that God allows us to be a part of. Amen. And all of this partnership takes place in a house. Physical structure, place of meeting and ministry, a specific location in Capernaum where people knew that they would find Jesus. We together on this? The building that we're in, a physical structure, place of meeting and ministry, specific location in Merced, a place where God privileges us to deal with the secondary issues, caring for needs, leading people into relationship with Jesus, equipping them to serve Him, while Jesus deals with the main issues of our lives, partnership. Together on that connection? The house was a tool that Jesus used to draw people into His teaching. And this building is what? It's a tool. A tool for Jesus to use, even allowing us the privilege of partnership, a tool to be used according to His will for His glory. Together on that? There's a huge challenge in that for us today. Inside the house, there are Pharisees and there are teachers of the law, scribes. Their main concern is about theological issues, legalities of God's law, righteousness by works, even their own privileged authoritative position in the community. And they're trying to trap Jesus, questioning His authority, reasoning from their own wisdom. And how easy it is for us as Christians to be so caught up in our own debates and dialogues, studies and words, spinning our wheels over the fine points of theology and doctrine and styles of worship, talking Christianese while people are left outside on stretchers needing Jesus. The crowd is trying to squeeze inside. They are jostling for position, trying to get a glimpse of Jesus, trying to hear what He has to say, fighting for the front row. It's an interesting thought. That's not necessarily a bad thing, is it? They're pressing forward to hear Jesus. Not bad, except who's excluded? Who's outside? Paralytic. Why was the crowd there? Verse 17. Why was the crowd there? Because the power to perform healing was there. Always is with Jesus. Jesus might perform a miracle. They're there for themselves. The entertainment factor. Jesus was the original Israeli idol. Maybe even for a little miracle in their own lives. Maybe to watch Jesus and the Pharisees go at it. All facing inward with their backs to those who needed to come in. And how easy it is for us as Christians to spend our time and our money on what benefits us, even spiritual stuff, going to seminars and reading books and attending Bible studies and Sunday school and services of worship, listening to Christian music, watching Christian DVDs and TV and studying the Christian life and evangelism and growing deeper in our walk with God, comparing churches and pastors and worship experiences, caught up in this wonderful Christian life and a Christian culture, pressing forward towards Jesus while people outside the walls have no clue what it means to know Jesus personally as their Savior. The people that we rub shoulders with during the week really don't care about our theology or our fellowship group that we're in or whether we're part of the youth group or in some sort of a Bible study. Even the awesomeness of this building, what most people care about is seeing the love of Jesus Christ tangibly demonstrated by His church. Right? Seeing people that genuinely care about each other. Seeing people who are willing to reach outside the walls of this building and pick up the stretchers that are laying around in the community. Question. Would it be okay if Jesus broke a few roof tiles? Took out a window or two. Maybe even brought this whole building down. What if God wanted to break a few roof tiles in your life? What if He really knocked you out of your comfort zone? If God shoved us out of our little boxes, moved us forward into ministry that really stretched our faith and trust? How we answer that question, what if Jesus broke a few roof tiles? How we answer that question points to the attitude of our hearts. Who we're here for? Whose tool is this? This building and ministry, including our very lives, need to be totally sacrifice, surrendered to God and left in His control. Otherwise, there is no partnership, and those who need Jesus are left outside. And isn't that what this dedication is all about? Committing ourselves to His partnership, using His tool according to His will for His glory. It's the paralytic outside who's important. People around us are waiting for us to pick up their stretchers. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, it is indeed an awesome reality that You, God, involve us, choose to involve us in partnership with You. It is Your ministry. It is Your partnership. This is Your tool. Our lives are about You. It is for Your honor and for Your glory that all of this exists, that we, in fact, have life and breath. Father, cause us to get this straight in our minds and deep within our hearts. It's not about us. It's about You. And that we need to surrender everything that we are in trust to You so that You, God, will accomplish Your incredible purposes in us and through us to Your honor and glory. There are people in this community that are lying on stretchers. There are people even in this church who need to be lifted up. God, break roof tiles. Get us outside these walls. May the dedication this afternoon not be about glorifying us, but it be a day of commitment to glorifying You and surrender to You according to Your purposes to move out and pick up stretchers. God, may people see the love of Jesus tangibly demonstrated, not only in our relationships together, but in the way that we love others in Your name. Thank You for the privilege of partnership. We praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.